Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to Shepherd Thoughts, episode 192. This is Pastor Thomas Overmiller, and we're taking a look at some lessons from 1 Samuel in the Old Testament about the marks of a true friend. The marks of a true friend. After God chose King David as the next king of Israel, Saul continued to occupy the throne for several years. Very awkward situation for sure. The new king is alive, but the old king won't stop ruling. So during this time, Saul looked for an opportunity, actually, to assassinate David and remove the threat that he posed to the throne. In contrast, David showed no desire to revolt against Saul. He just waited patiently for God to arrange a peaceful transfer of power instead. In addition to Saul and David, though, a third man is found in the crosshairs of this awkward dilemma between Saul and David. And this man is Jonathan. On one hand, this man was the son of King Saul. This made him the heir to his father's throne and meant that David was actually a serious threat to his future progress. Yet, quite surprisingly, Jonathan was a close friend of David and was not opposed to him. We learn about the strength of this very unique friendship in 1 Samuel 20. Jonathan was, interestingly enough, actually not just Saul's son and successor, not just David's friend, but also David's brother-in-law, since David was married to Michal, Saul's daughter. Very awkward for Jonathan here. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 20. In this chapter, David asked Jonathan why his father wanted to kill him. Jonathan claimed that Saul actually intended no harm, but David wasn't convinced of this good-natured response. So the two men devised a plan to find out the truth, and it soon confirmed David's concerns. Jonathan just thought the best of his father. He wasn't trying to pull one over on David. At an earlier point in their relationship, Jonathan and David had made a covenant together. You read about this in 1 Samuel 18, 1-4. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 8. Now he showed his commitment to this covenant, though, in practice, by warning David about his father's murderous plans. Afterwards, the two men made further vows of friendship and separated for good. It was a very special moment, a difficult moment, as the two friends parted ways. This chapter, though, serves the overarching purpose of Samuel's writing in a very strategic way. So not just teaching about friendship, it establishes David, not Saul, as God's choice for Israel's king, because Jonathan, the son of David's arch nemesis and even the legal successor, predicted David's future kingship and success and formed a close friendship with him, despite strong opposition from his father. He also protected David from Saul by giving him key intel about Saul's plans. These actions by Jonathan helped to cement David's legitimate claim to the throne. Now, that's the overarching purpose for why Samuel would have included this story in the book. In addition to these important takeaways, though, we learn some valuable lessons about the nature of good friendships. As you consider these lessons with me here in the next moments, you should ask yourself two questions. Do I have any true friends? Am I a true friend? A true friend is someone you can speak to when you're in a tight spot. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 1 tells us this. Despite David's loyal submission and service to King Saul, he soon realized that Saul intended to kill him. As the problem became clear, he fled, but not just to run away. He fled as quickly as possible to the one person he could trust, Jonathan, to get some perspective. This should have been a dangerous or risky move, since Jonathan was Saul's son and the family heir to the throne. But David trusted Jonathan so strongly as a friend that he went to him for help in his trouble and was not afraid to do so. And this demonstrates that a true friend is someone you can speak to when you're in a tight spot and you can trust them that they will not do you harm. Also, a true friend does what is necessary to help you out. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 4. In this verse, Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you." Jonathan thought the best of his father and didn't believe that he would try to kill David. Even so, he offered to do whatever it took to find out the truth, even if he was wrong. He didn't expect David to simply take his word for it and was willing to be wrong. Instead, he developed a plan that would reveal the truth and give David peace of mind and the ability to make appropriate decisions. In doing so, Jonathan proved that he wanted what was best for David, not for himself. A true friend does what is necessary to help you out and has your best interests in mind. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 9. A true friend tells you the truth. Jonathan said to David, "Far be it from you, for if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you?" Jonathan assured David that he would tell him the truth. He would not hold back vital information from him. This is especially noteworthy because withholding information about Saul's intentions to kill David would turn out in Jonathan's favor, restoring him to the apparent heir to the throne. Yet, once again, Jonathan demonstrated his commitment to David's needs over his own personal aspirations. We often value a friend who tells the truth whether it hurts you or not. We put it this way: a true friend tells you the truth even when it hurts you, but they're willing to do it. And that's true. Paul talks about this. "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" But there's a deeper lesson of friendship here, I believe, and that is a true friend will tell you the truth even when it hurts them. You see, a true friend like Jonathan, a true, true friend, is one who tells you the truth when it especially hurts him or her instead. Jonathan was this kind of friend to David. A true friend also returns kindness for kindness, 1 Samuel 20, 14 through 17. For all the kindness that Jonathan had shown towards David, David assured Jonathan that he would do the same for him. In this arrangement, David agreed to do no harm to Jonathan or his descendants. Under normal protocol, a new king, especially of a new family dynasty, would eliminate the living descendants of the former dynasty. This practice removed unwanted threats to the throne and provided stability for the kingdom moving forward. In this case, though, David agreed to treat Jonathan and his descendants favorably against normal custom. Sadly, Jonathan would eventually die in a battle against the Philistines. Even so, David remained true to his promise. When he became king, though Jonathan and Saul were dead, he searched for any remaining descendants of Saul's family, not for the purpose of removing them or killing them, but for the purpose of treating them kindly, because of the kindness that Jonathan had shown to him. He actually did this for a descendant named Mephibosheth. Remarkably, he even treated Mephibosheth kindly, despite the possibility that Mephibosheth had actually participated in a plot against the throne. But David was a true friend to Jonathan and returned kindness, even though there was a potential threat to him as a result. A true friend also remains faithful despite intense pressure to abandon you. When Saul realized that Jonathan was covering for David, he placed intense pressure on him to abandon his friendship with David. He used strong language, spoke about him in a shameful way, and explained the personal disadvantages for being a friend to David. Despite this very strong appeal from his father, of all people, Jonathan remained a loyal friend to David despite great pressure otherwise. A true friend shares a mutual commitment to the Lord. 1 Samuel 20, verse 42, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me.'" David and Jonathan had made a commitment to one another before the Lord. This was more than a handshake agreement. It was a decision made with God in mind. They also trusted in the Lord to maintain their relationship indefinitely. This is one element of a friendship that non-believers cannot practice. They cannot worship the Lord together as the God and ruler of their lives, nor can they trust God to help them keep their friendship intact. Thankfully, Jonathan was such a friend that could encourage David's walk with God. Jonathan knew that God had anointed David as the next king, so he submitted to God's plan. David also trusted in the Lord and therefore felt no need to take matters into his own hands, whether against Saul or Jonathan. Furthermore, if either of these men somehow breached their mutual commitment to one another, they believed that God himself would make things right and that he would do so in the best of ways. Therefore, they had no need to take such action themselves. Two more. One, a true friend, shows respect to you. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. As soon as the lad had gone, it says, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. They kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. When Jonathan came to David with the final report of his father Saul's plans to kill David, David responded to Jonathan with humility and respect. Even though David was God's anointed heir to the throne, and Jonathan had no such future, David was silent for a moment, then bowed himself to the ground before Jonathan, as though he were the king. To emphasize his respect for Jonathan, he bowed not once, but three times, which is more than any other person is recorded as doing for any other person anywhere else in the Bible. David showed respect to this man who had sacrificed so much so that he could be the king instead of Jonathan. Finally, a true friend loves you as though you were himself. The Old Testament teaches the necessity of loving God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 6, of course, teaches this. It also emphasizes loving your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19, 17. Centuries later, Jesus would tie these two commandments together as being one interchangeable command so that to love your neighbor or your friend would be to love God. In this way, Jonathan's love for David revealed that he loved God with the noblest form of love that the Torah ever spoke of. A true friend is good because he or she is first a friend of God. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Again, 1 Samuel 20:17, Jonathan again caused David to vow because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan's friendship to David is an excellent study. I encourage you to go back to 1 Samuel 20 and look at it carefully. Pray about it. Ask yourself the question, do I have any friends like this? Am I this kind of friend to anyone else? Pass this study along. Teach it to someone else. Share it with someone else in your family, in your sphere of influence, in your friends. Perhaps you're a teacher heading into a new school year. Share this with your students. Teach them the nature of true friendship. I hope this has been a help and a blessing. God bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.